hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Welcome to Big Brass One Central, home of John Hines, the Wild coach. It's Judd. It's AJ. It's Judd's Hockey Show. Following a 4-3 overtime Wild win, and boy, did we see something unique here today, and that's the fact that John Hines, in overtime, with 1:25 left, pulled Marc-Andre Fleury in overtime, 3-3, and the Wild gets the OT GWG from Matt Boldy. But what this meant was, if the Predators had gotten the puck and scored into an empty net, age, the Wild not only lose the game, they lose the 2 points. You cannot pull your goaltender in overtime and get the loser point. And so the Wild now pulls to 69 points. They're 2 points ahead of the teams they've been battling, non-playoff teams, Calgary, Seattle, and St. Louis now. They are now 6 points behind the Golden Knights, who did finally win last night, 3-6-1 in their last 10. They are, let's see here, they are 9 points behind Nashville, which still gets a point. But this is something, the only time involving the Wild, and I don't recall the circumstance, the only time I remember this happening, and I think it was Dallas. There was a Dallas Wild game years and years ago that went into overtime. And I think it was, Dallas competing for playoff point at the time. And I think they did the same thing and pulled their goaltender, I think. Other than that, though, I can never recall seeing a goaltender pulled in overtime and the threat of forfeiting that point. I will say this, Age. The one thing I saw, and I thought it was weird, and I thought he was involving himself in the play potentially, Marc-Andre Fleury would come halfway up the slot whenever his team, the Wild, had the puck. And I'm like, is he trying to be an outlet for a pass? Because, and we'll talk about this, you can certainly pass the puck back to the goaltender, and you see that. But I think he'd been told, you're coming out. And at 1:25, he got the sign to come out. The one thing is, and this is where it worked, and it won't work next time, I think the Predators were stunned.
Like, yeah.
The Predators dropped into a shell, like, oh my God, what's going on? Essentially, Minnesota's on a power play. I don't think they had any inkling it was coming, and I think they were absolutely stunned. Now, you can only use that trick once. Nonetheless, though, congratulations, John Hines. Big brass ones here in St. Paul today.
They score the goal, and my dad goes, get that guy some a wheelbarrow for those so he can walk around the streets of St. Paul. Insane. I had a whole bit ready, Judd. I found this from my childhood. You know, nice little foam finger, but yeah, signifying a team that only gets ones. They get one point.
I like it. 1 point.
1 point. No. But I can't even do the bit now because they pull off this unbelievable move. And I was right with you there. I'm sitting there on the couch. I'm like, why is he, you know, maybe he wants to like help push the play. They don't have time to waste. They need the point. And then he takes off and Darren Pang on the, you know, between the glasses, holy jumping. Yeah. I'm just so great. So, it cool to see that move. I did not, expect this team to, after surrendering that late goal, be able to really find the willpower, I guess, because that was my whole mindset after one team is a playoff team and one team is not.
Right.
And the playoff team is the one that's able to come back being down in an opponent's building and you score one late, you draw a penalty, whether it's whether it was a good call or not, that's up for debate, but they find the will to tie things up and they go to overtime. I was like, okay, they're going to do it. Absolutely. It's going to be like the factor again, Ryan O'Reilly, of course. So credit to the Wild. That is as ballsy as it can get, and boy, did it pay off. And even if what stinks is, no matter how disappointing the rest of the season is, that's going to be like one of the things that people go back. Well, remember that we'll always have that, yeah, Sunday the March 10th. Like, wow, I remember when Johnny Hines pulled Fleury in overtime. What a move.
Yeah. And I mean, it could come back where we actually, at some point in time, depending on how things go in discussing draft position, right? Say, boy, you got 2 points there. You could have had zero. I would have taken 0 points. Nonetheless, it was just a shocking move. I'm telling you, the Predators were like, what the hell? And I think the whole, yeah, building. Now, I don't think most people know, because it's such a rarity to see this, that you would lose both points or you would lose your point. So, mm-hmm, that was among the factors. But you know what? What the hell, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, you're probably not a playoff team, but now you're, you know, you're still fighting for it. And you're right. Like I watched this game and the Wild didn't play poorly. The Wild just not deep. So like, this is not a criticism, but the Wild is just not a deep team. And so like, you're watching Nashville roll these lines, right? Like their fourth line, their third line was great today. This Jankowski scored a goal. I think he had an assist. Like, okay, he's a depth guy.
Yeah.
But this was fun. And I will say this, if you're serious about a playoff spot, and yes, he played well after allowing the first goal on Friday in the overtime loss to the Avs. But if you're serious about a playoff spot, I think right now, probably ride Flower. Like, he's just more consistent. He played well. Both Juice and Flower were great. Like, goaltending was, this could have been much worse. And keep in mind, too, Philip Forsberg hit the post in overtime, or this game is done. And it's 2 points to Nashville and 1 point to the Wild. And you need, I mean, these three-point games hurt because you're still giving up points to especially the teams that you're competing against. It's one thing to give up a point to, like, the Coyotes because they're so far back. It's another to give up a point to, like, the Vegas Golden Knights or Nashville. But I thought the same thing that you thought watching this from the press box. Like, Nashville's a playoff team. And the Wild's trying to show, hey, we're scrappy. Those fights were a definite message to the Predators. You know, you're big and mean, but we're big and mean too, which you're really not. That's okay. But yeah, this was one of the gutsiest moves I've seen by a Wild coach, just based on the fact that if you don't get that point, there would have been a whole lot of questions. And now John Hines, Matt Boldy, for at least tonight, can go enjoy a cold one.
I want to know your take on this, but they went to overtime, and it's gotten to me at this point. Yep. I've seen enough of the 3-on-3 overtime as it is.
Yep.
But we need to implement some sort of rule, because the shot to, like, circle back, regroup, reset, pull out of the zone ratio is far too wide.
Yep.
There was a gap of, I want to say, 3 minutes, and you might say, oh, but Forsberg put one. No, that's not a shot on goal, because he hit the post, you know? So it's just circle. It's so boring. Like, the whole point of this 3-on-3 shift was to create excitement, have games end in, like, actual play, and not have a shootout, which I know some people are very divided on. I think back to, like, the World Cup of Hockey, or the World of Hockey tournament or whatever, a couple of years ago. I want to say it was like Canada and Sweden, but it was like Henrik Lundqvist was still in net, and you had Austin Matthews, and it was just this, like, chaotic. It was the first real, like, display of this 3-on-3 format. So people really didn't have a chance to game plan it. So it was just like pond hockey. They're throwing them out there and they're having fun, but that was so chaotic. High pace, guys are gas going coast to coast. You know, goalies are making acrobatic saves. Guys are standing on their head. Just pure electricity. And now it's gotten to the point where it's just, I'd rather almost see a shootout. Like, it's just genuinely boring to watch a team hold possession for 4 minutes and then have, like, two shots as a result of that. And then, because the other team capitalizes on a missed shot, or a shot that drifts wide out of the zone, they counter and they score on, like, a 2-on-1.
Agree completely. And in fact, I put in my notes, as I watched that, OT fix needed. Because when it started to, I used to describe it as a race to score. Like, you would get the puck and it would be a race. Like, if you got possession, you would try and generate an offensive chance immediately. And it was, you know, possession at that time, when if you won the draw, was so important, because you basically tried to score immediately. Now you win the draw and you circle and circle. And yes, the Predators were more guilty, in my opinion, today than the Wild was. Like, they are, and they're skilled. And just to be clear, in person, Roman Josi's so much fun to watch. Oh my God, is that guy a stud? He is like a huge point guard in basketball. Like, he controls, and he's strong as hell, but he also controls the puck effortlessly. It's so fun. But back to your point, I'm with you completely. It's been discussed. They need to have a rule that you can't. I'm not exactly sure what we're doing down here. Oh no! Oh, we're bringing a Wild player out with a bunch of kids. I don't know. It might be Flower. I'm not sure. Oh yeah, it's Flower. He's the man of the people. I have no idea why.
Well, just like Onyx Dragons, we're wishing for more flower power.
But,
so that's,
but that's really cool. That's cool. So back to the point, they have talked about this. They need to come up with a rule where you can only circle, I don't know if it's the red line or your own blue line, but you can't move the puck back and you can't circle back. I think it would probably be fair age to say your own blue line. I think the red line might be a little bit too restrictive and too harsh, but if you go back into your own zone, it should be delay a game because you're 1,000% right. Like, this is supposed to be exciting. And in teams like Nashville are turning it into a, you know, let's try and set up a shot. But in doing that, in what's a relatively short period of time, you know, we are going to take X amount of time. Obviously in this sport, there's no shot clock. So yeah, they need to do something because it's been, and this not the first year, but it has been turned against them. Like what the league intended is now down the drain. So I'm with you completely. You need to have a restricted, there needs to be a restriction on how far back you can go. And I also think you can't pass back to like your goaltender, but you sure as hell can't pass back into your own zone, which teams do.
Yeah.
It's a great format when it's used. Yes. Right. It's fantastic. 3-on-3. I love it. It's pond hockey, but nobody on God's green earth plays pond hockey by circling back into their own zone as much as they can to try to set up one play. And if they do, they should be kicked out of pond hockey.
Yeah. And my thought of it was like, you know, over and back type of thing, like they have in basketball.
Yes.
But you know, if, as soon as you cross that red, whether you're pursued or not, like if you have possession and you go over and then go back across, play's dead. It's an icing, you know, you now have a defensive zone faceoff. Cause I, you know, maybe a penalty would be too harsh, but
no, that's a good idea.
Like something has to happen. Something has to happen. Cause like the game should end in like the guy skating out there, not the one-on-one. And I don't hate the shootout. You got to end the game at some point, but I would rather it happen in a 3-on-3 OT than in a shootout personally.
I hate it, but unfortunately 3-on-3 is not anything like it used to be. Like it should be, you should be trying to score immediately. And now it's like this long game and it's 5 minutes. You don't have a long game. So yeah, I'm with you, but back to today. So here's my current take. Okay. And yeah. I'm curious if you agree with this opinion or not. My current take is this: now that the deadline's done, Duhame gone, Dewar gone, Maroon gone, you're playing a bottom six that, you know, Hartman scored, but there's a lot to be desired as far as scoring ability there. But I am for now seeing what these kids can do. So like, you know, Beckman, you find out, right? And I know you've got guys, we could go through the amount of guys that you still have that would have been nice to move to get kids up and stuff. But Marat's going to play probably on Tuesday. So I'm far more excited now just to see what guys can do to give them a shot. And if, you know what, if you make a run, fine. If you win games, fine. If you don't, fine. But I mean, I think what, with the guys that Bill could trade, that he did trade, I think Bill Guerin and John Hines have set this team up now to basically audition guys and see, you know, see how much they can get. And that's about as good as you can do at this point. Today was fun and gutsy. And I know that the players and Hines would like to make the playoffs. I'm not concerned about that. I am concerned about getting guys auditions so that when you go into training camp next fall, that you'll have a much better idea of what you have or don't have.
Yes, this is your auditioning for the next season, in my opinion. And this is exactly what, like, they're not out of the picture by any means, which, you know, maybe you would like them to, maybe you don't want them to be. But the point is here, you're far enough out to where you have to be looking at, you're taking stock of what these younger guys have, because if you send them down Iowa Wild, there's only so much you're getting there. You're only seeing so much. And then you're hearing from, you know, the coaching staff, you're hearing from guys that interact with that team. But I want to see how keep Jake Lucchini up here.
Oh God. Yeah.
Adam Beckman, keep him up. Like
absolutely.
A guy that deserves his shot. We thought he was going to get it a couple weeks ago. He comes back over. Even if he plays bad, like I want to see that so that I can know, okay, I no longer need to see Adam Beckman next season. This needs to be now like a Declan Chisholm. You signed him to play him. He's 24 years old. This is a guy that you picked up. You might be able to have him for a while if you really want to. And so far, besides maybe the last couple of games, like I thought he's been relatively impressive. Like he's not a world beater by any means, but he seems like a pretty decent addition to the hockey club. So these younger guys that you maybe haven't seen a whole lot, get them ice time. I don't want to see Marco Rossi outside of the top six anymore. You know, it's on paper maybe, but it's like at the end of the night, he should not be playing third or fourth line minutes. I need to see him up because he's been doing it all season. He has been working his tail off all season, and you need to have these guys be able to. And once you add Merit Husnadinov in the mix, who I believe it was Jesse Pierce reporting that John Hines mentioned that he's going to have him practice tomorrow with the team. Tuesday. And then he's going to look to get him in the lineup on Tuesday. There should be no hesitation there. Get him in the lineup, let him play, let these guys play. And if they make a run, you know what? You don't change a thing, because then that goes back to the, well, you know, that's the experience in the playoffs. And this team has more than enough playoff experience. So to a certain extent, I really don't care about it. But if you're going to play the younger guys, then you know what? A first round loss, a second round loss, whatever. That might just be what they need before they start to really start this new era at Minnesota Wild Hockey after next year's cap relief.
I don't know why John Merrill is still playing. I don't get that one. And I think Declan Chisholm at times is trying to cover for John, which I don't think is really fair. I would prefer to see a different pairing out there. Like I'm with you. Chisholm 100% should play. Lucchini should play. Beckman, Shaw, Letary. I'm fine with that. Find out again. Merrill's the one guy I don't get. Aaron says, can we just pull the goalie the whole game? You know, Aaron, I think that would look, the goaltender's last two games have been really good. And Fleury played marvelous today. You don't win. That game could have easily been 5-4, 6-4. Saros played great too. Saros is fantastic. Juice is really, really good. But I mean, I would ride Flower as much as possible in anticipation of trying to trade Gus in the summer. Volstead comes up, Fleury comes back. Fleury's your 1B or sort of your 2. Let's talk about the penalty called late in the game on Erickson Ek.
Yeah.
Because he was incredibly upset. It was not a great call. But understand this. And let's see here. Who were the I'm looking for the officials in today's game on the score sheet because I know I've got them right here. Yes, Mitch Dunning and Chris Lee. Chris Lee, I don't think is great. But let's talk about that call, because that call put the marbles even. Okay. Both teams had two power plays and they went 1-for-2. We're getting to that time of year where the marbles are going to be even as possible. These guys do not want to call a ton. There was actually, what's funny is in the third period earlier before the Ek call, there was a more egregious hook, like just a hook that they ordinarily first period to probably call it. They didn't call that on Nashville. They called this one. And I agree, like, if you're pissed off about that call, I don't disagree with you, but we need to keep in mind, this is how this league works. And you can say it's stupid and you can say it's dumb and you're probably not wrong, but, and the Wild gets away with stuff too. So this is not officials against the Wild world. This is a world where they want to keep things, especially as we get to playoffs, as even as possible. So I didn't like that call. Like, I thought it was really ticky-tack. And for that point of the game, I thought it was real. But I knew as soon as the Wild got a second power play that the Predators were going to get one. And the only question was when. And if you watch the sport a lot, you know, whether it be the marvelous Edina Chanhassen game here last night for the AA title or the Wild in Nashville this afternoon, you know exactly how the officials are thinking and what's going to be called and what's not.
Yeah, you cannot come into any sort of like game reaction and say that the refs lost you to cost you the game. They can't, like, you know what a good team does there late? They send out their four best penalty killers, and you kill that last 2.5 minutes.
The next one of them, unfortunately, for these guys.
You know what? Hey, you send out your second through fifth.
You
best,
what you
I
got.
But you know, it's there's quite literally thousands of instances in a game that can determine the outcome. You know, if somebody sneaks past a defender instead of getting bodied along the wall, maybe they're in on goal, and that's, you know, whatever. We saw a couple toe saves by Fleury tonight. Saros was fantastic at times too. Like, some of these saves in some of these other instances, that's what determines the game. So do you disagree with the call? Probably. And the timing, as Pyro here says, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy that that's the call you're going to make at that time of the game, but you got to just deep breath, move on. You know, you cannot linger on that. You can't, or I'm seeing in the chat some other Minnesota sports related news that's kind of catching my eye here, Jed. I don't know if you are as well, but
I'm seeing it on Kirk, but I have no idea if it's true or not.
Yeah,
I'm following this from the rink all day, and I have no idea what's true or not at this point. So I'm just going to hold off until we actually know something.
Well, that's perfect timing that, of course, it would happen during this, but Back to what I was saying, you have to just go out there and you have to kill that penalty, and that's just what it is. If they were a better team, then they would be walking out of here with a 3-2 win, and they would have gotten done regulation, and you would have gained an extra point on top of that that lead that Nashville has over you. So, that's my stance on the officiating. If it's going to be bad, then it's going to be bad, but you just got to deal with it, because both teams have the same officiating, right? Whether you feel like there's bias or not. And like you said, it evened out at the end of the day, essentially.
Exactly right. And just FYI, if something does transpire tonight with Kirk, he can't really go to the Falcons. He could return here. But of course, there will be an emergency and a damn near immediate Purple Daily episode. Before we wrap things up here, just a quick shout out to our new partner, our friends, Nicolay Law. The real Nicolay Law, welcome aboard. They know that when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life can come to a complete stop and things get complicated. During that time, insurance companies, they're trying to pressure you. They're in the business of themselves. They don't care if you get better. They don't care if your medical bills are piling up, and they don't care that you may not be able to work. But you know who does? Nicolay Law does. They have seen every play the insurance companies have. That's right. They got their playbook. And Nicolay will drop their gloves to make sure you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. So if you've been injured, get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolay. Start your path to winning at NicolayLaw.com. That's NicolayLaw.com. Or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. That's 1-855-NICOLET. Nicolay Law, welcome aboard to Score North, to JHS, and all of our other shows. All right, what else you got, sir?
Let's realistically go through this if you're all right with it. Let's look at these standings here, and let's maybe look to the next week or two for the Minnesota Wild to see kind of where things are standing. So right now, when you look at those wildcard standings, the two spots being held by the Nashville Predators, Vegas Golden Knights, 66 and 64 games played respectively. So the Knights have two less games there. And funny enough, with that win today, the Wild jump. This cannot be right by the NHL app that I'm looking at. It says that they are now in the third spot. Like, they are the next in line for...
They are.
They are. They are.
They've
That's right.
Those, they've jumped. The Blues lost last night. I think Calgary, they got drilled yesterday by Florida, and I think they lost again today. The Blues, Calgary, and Seattle. So they've jumped them all by 2 points, but they're still behind the Golden Knights, who, by the way, I'm hard-pressed to think are going to miss the playoffs.
So with that, they are now essentially the first team out. And when you look at their upcoming schedule here, so off tomorrow practicing, back on Tuesday, they are at home hosting the Arizona Coyotes. Yep. We are expected to see that night the debut in the Minnesota Wild colors for Merit Husnadinov. On Thursday, they will host the Anaheim Ducks. St. Louis is where they travel on Saturday. And then next week you have back-to-back road games, late night, 9 o'clock start down in Anaheim, and then you face LA the next night on the road as well, 9 o'clock puck draw before you actually come back home against the Blues next Saturday, the 23rd. Do you think that over that time, Judd, where they sit now at the at 69 points, yep, out of those next, what was that, six games, yep, how many points do you think are possible for that, for this club? So 12 possible points between now and next Saturday.
This team is so up and down. It's so hard to say. Like, it should be a ton of points. But, I mean, we've seen this team play like they did today or against the Avs. But then they'll come back against a bad team. I mean, they've lost to the Coyotes here, 6-0. They've lost to the Ducks here. So, I mean, you're thinking, yeah, you should be like, do I think that they should get the next 4 points from the next two games here? Absolutely. I got to be honest, though, I just don't trust this team. I just don't trust this team. And I really don't know now, in fairness, not to rip them, you know, that top line is really good. Like, you got the talent right there, right, Age? And the second line can do some things. But after that, mm-hmm, like, your bottom six doesn't score. And so are they going to bust out? And I guess my question is, how long can some of these guys will this team to wins? You know, will this team? And my other question is this. Is this the goaltending now? You know, last two games have been really good, and Fleury's playing great. Like, is this really your goaltending? Because that can win you games. Or are they going to put Gus back in on Tuesday, and he's going to be Gus here where he sieves out a time? So, like, there's just so many questions. One thing I was trying to look up on my phone here, and I got it called up right now, is the Golden Knights schedule as well. Because, mm-hmm, again, they're the team, like, you can be the first team out, but it ain't like you're that close to the last team in. Golden Knights on Tuesday at Seattle, on Thursday at Calgary. So those teams are scuffling now. Sunday the 17th, the Golden Knights play host to the Devils, who aren't playing well. The 19th, they play host to Tampa Bay. Then the Thursday, they play host to the Kraken. And then on the following Saturday, so two Saturdays from now, they've got Columbus to end a three-game homestand. So, like, there's points there for them, too. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to say. I don't believe the Golden Knights can continue to play as poorly as they were. And so I don't like the Wild's chances. I think they can get some points. I don't know if it's going to do them a lot of good, but I think the most important thing is to see exactly what they have. And yes, Bob is correct. March Madness on steroids. That AA game last night was fantastic. The A tournament, I actually think overall beat the AA tournament, because the two AA games on Friday were dogs. But Chanhassen and Edina was great. Congratulations, mm-hmm, Kurt Giles, the former North Star defenseman. Our guy, Louie Nanny, 60 Louis. Years, unbelievable run. I saw him here today. They put him on the scoreboard during the course of the game. Great run. But yes, March Madness is a really, really fun time. And you come to the rink sometimes, AJ, you don't know what you're going to see, and we saw a weird one today.
Yeah, absolutely weird. I'm just going to wait to see this next couple of weeks. To your point, we saw it, I want to say, against the Sharks a week ago. How often are we going to have to see a guy like Kirill Kaprizov pretty much just will the team into a position to win a game? You know, you can't rely on him to put up 2-3 goals a game. You can't rely on Matt Boldy to do it. You can't rely on you know, a guy like Marco Rossi to do something like that, or Matt Zuccarello to have, you know, 4 assists in a game, and that's how they win. You gotta have Mason Shaw. You gotta have
also success score. You're right.
And I really quick, and this is something I know we have been talking about. Ryan Hartman. I know we both are fairly in the same mindset that he is a very good, like, third line center. I'll give him credit, because he jumped the passing lane today, kind of looked like an elite NFL cornerback. And that was, I mean, that might be the easiest, like, breakaway you're ever going to see for an NHLer, but I'll give him credit, because that patience to go to the backhand and then hold and then hold, and then he held a little bit longer, and then he finally roofed it. That was very impressive. Good goal by him.
Yeah. And Anthony Pavelier, you've been traded twice during the course of the season. That pass is why, dude. You know, he went from the Islanders to the Canucks, I think, last year. Then he went from the Canucks to the Blackhawks. And then at the deadline, you know, clearly Chicago's toast. So they traded him to the Predators. But yeah, you're right. I mean, heck of a play. All due credit to Hartman. Nashville and the Wild, especially in the first period, were downright sloppy today. And Nashville was too. Like, both those goaltenders saved this team's bacon. I mean, Saros made some nice saves. And if you go back to the first two goals by the Wild in this game were not on Saros. They were both, you know, the Kaprizov goal, he made like three or four saves. He made an unbelievable stop on Boldy. And Kaprizov finally basically just tucked the puck in, I think, on his backhand. But, yeah, both teams were a little bit sloppy, and that's not going to do you much good in the playoffs from either side.
I was going to maybe ask you about that. I know, and I've interacted with some people that work with like the ice crew there at the X, and so I know like they're regarded as one of the better crews in the league. And I know with the X, they had the boys state hockey tournament here, right, over Thursday through yesterday, and they do have to remove some of the like MSHSL logos and stuff that they threw the mats down under the ice.
Yep.
It appeared to me like it was just sloppy for both teams throughout the course of the game. So I don't know if you heard anything that maybe there was complications doing the melting and then refilling and refreezing process, but it seemed like it just wasn't a normal, like, smooth game for both sides.
I didn't hear a thing, but yeah, I mean, if what you were saying is accurate, there were definitely, especially again in the first period, I thought there was definitely some sloppy passing, sloppy plays. So I mean, I just blamed ineptitude of both teams. But and Nashville they played an afternoon game. I think it was in Columbus yesterday, and then flew here. So back to backs for them, and they still got 3 points from two games. So I'm sure that they're not too upset. But that's possible. And yeah, because this building was in use for hockey Wednesday through Saturday. And then today, so very possible. But anyway, great stuff. Appreciate all of you who tuned in. Didn't know exactly, or I guess not, tuned in is probably not right. Came here to watch us on YouTube. Came here to listen to the podcast. We're not. I'm very old school. But we do appreciate you, and I'm glad that we did the show, because it's certainly this game came to an end with a very interesting storyline. I'll be curious to see John Hines's quotes about one of the more gutsy calls. Yeah, the team's not really a playoff team, but still took some guts to potentially forfeit 2 points, but then you end up getting 2 points. Yes, AJ.
And Judd, for like, I know now after that win, my mind's buzzing. My Minnesota sports heart is running just all over the house here. If I now am going to hear rumors about Kirk Cousins and what his future may hold, where can I tune in, as you just said, to find any coverage of that?
Purple Daily. I told you, if something happens tonight, and if something happens tonight, almost certainly will be Cousins and the Vikings, because the Falcons can't do a damn thing they officially can't do a damn thing until the negotiating period opens at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So if something does transpire tonight, if Kirk returns, there will be an emergency episode of Purple Daily. If not, we are going to go live tomorrow on the Score North Purple Daily channel as soon as something transpires there. So Vikings, if Daniil signs, if Kirk signs, or I shouldn't say signs, if they leave, they can come to an agreement. Those will be reported. You technically can't sign until 3 o'clock Central on Wednesday. So yes, Age, great point. And I believe we're also going to be doing a Score North Twin show at our new Twins YouTube channel as well. So plenty of content. Byron Buxton feels good. Life is great. The Wild's pulling the goaltender in overtime, and it's actually working. What more could you possibly want from March Madness? He's AJ. I'm Judd. We will talk to you all soon.